A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Gittin Daf Mem. Gittin 40a. Pagination is 79. About 12 lines from the top, we begin with a statement from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Eved shehiniach tefillin b'fnei rabo yotza l'cheirus. A slave that wore tefillin in front of his master, and his master simply didn't object, that's the way we understand this statement initially, he goes free because the master did not object to his wearing tefillin. Let's back up and understand what kind of status we're dealing with, and why this might be an indicator of his freedom. A non-Jew that becomes enslaved to a Jew in the time of this Talmudic literature that's being described would have the status of a partial Jewish orientation, obligation of mitzvahs in a certain regard, similar to a woman, and tefillin was not an obligation that the Eved had, and therefore he would typically not observe tefillin. Especially tefillin, it's a pe'er, it's an ornament, it's a special status, and the Eved typically would not be doing that. What happened over here, as we initially understand it, is that he put on tefillin in front of the master, and the master saw and did not object. That perhaps is an indicator that he is free. Tosfos points out, Lav mishum delo ma'avid le'isura demivarech aleihen v'ikabracha levatala. The issue over here is not that putting on tefillin for a person who's not obligated in tefillin is a blessing in vain. In other words, he's doing something terribly wrong. Says Tosfos, that's not really true. That's not where the proof lies. Dahasuka lulav v'shofar v'kama mitzvah saseh shahanashim mevarchos. A slave at this point has the same status as a woman. And a woman's status is, she's not obligated in these mitzvahs, but she's allowed to do the mitzvahs. And if she chooses to do the mitzvahs, she does recite a bracha. For example, Tosfos cites the examples of shofar, lulav, and sukkah, which are mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, time-oriented mitzvahs. A woman is absolved of them. Nevertheless, common custom is that women do these mitzvahs with a bracha when they choose to do them. And therefore, going back to the case of Eved, the mere fact that he's wearing tefillin and made a bracha on the tefillin is not a proof, not a compelling proof that he's a free man and now he's obligated, because even if he wasn't obligated, he could go ahead and do such a thing. Just like women can go ahead and do such a thing and recite a bracha. Ella, Tosfos says, this is more of a social type proof. Mishum de'ein avodim regilin b'tfilin. It's not normal for an eved to wear tefillin. It's not a legal proof, Tosfos points out. It's more of a social proof. V'ilav de'shachrirei lo hava manachle. The fact is that if he had not been freed, he would not be putting on tefillin. And that's initially our understanding of this situation, simply because he's wearing the tefillin in the presence of the master, and the master did not object. The Gemara objects. Meisvei, I'll ask you a question. The case of hiniach tefillin b'fnei rabo, he puts on tefillin in front of his master. O shekora shlosha psukim b'veis haknesses b'fnei rabo. Or similarly, he read publicly three psukim in front of his master. and the master did not object, Hareza lo yatza lecheirus, he does not go free. We have a contradiction here to the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as we understood it. The original statement was, in the presence of the master, he does go free. And this statement is, in the presence of the master, he does not go free. Amar Rabba bar Bar Shila, Rabba bar Rab Shila says, Kishe Rabbo hiniach lo tefillin. The case that he would go free is when the master helped him with putting on tefillin. And in such a case, it would be an act that declares the slave's freedom. Interestingly, the Rambam tells us, V'kofin es rabo lichtav lo get shechror, and we would force the master to now write a document of the slave's freedom, so that he will become a regular Jew, similar to a ger, a convert. One wonders, why do we require a document if indeed he's free because of the master's action helping him put on tefillin? And there are a number of approaches. One approach is that he is free, but we're worried that the master might one day call him, oh, my slave. And we want to make sure that we put an end to that relationship, and therefore we obligate him to write a document. Once it's signed, the slave has a paper that declares what occurred. Another possibility is that this ruling is not 100% definitive. It's an umduna. It's an assumption. We never heard clearly that he freed the slave. We never saw the documentation or the kinyan that caused the slave to become free. It's an assumption. If he's helping him with tefillin, it must be he set him free. An umdana can work by financial matters, because at this point, when the master asks the slave to do work for him, the slave says back, we have an assumption that you set me free. You can't obligate me to work for you. However, when it comes to Isurim, who he's going to marry, we need more than an assumption. And therefore, the purpose of this document is to make the status definitive. In any case, going back to our Gemara, if the slave was wearing tefillin on his own and the master did not object, then the ruling, as the Rambam presents it based on this Gemara, is that he's not going to be free just because lo micha bo is lo yatza lecheirus. The Rambam is in Avodim Ches Yud Zayin. But if the master is the one who helped him with the tefillin, that would be an act that's reasonably definitive. It's still going to require a get shechur for whatever reason, but the fact that the master helped him with tefillin would cause the eved to enter the freed status. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.